Talker Podcast. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can follow me, or you can follow us both on the Midnight Paco Podcast on Instagram.
That's right.
As you can see, we have a special guest today.
Yes, we do. This guy right here.
He is a writer.
Yep.
He is a fellow comedian.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is...
Actor. You forgot actor.
Oh, absolutely. My bad. Shit. Suck, let me start all over.
Yeah. Give us credit.
He is a script writer.
Damn.
Actor.
Yep.
And fellow comedian.
That's right.
Ladies and... Pet store employee.
Pet store employee. You know what? He knows all the fucking snacks and, you know, if your fish got ick... He can tell you what to do to get rid of it.
Yeah. Super egg formula.
Buy a new one.
Yeah. No. You love your fish and you don't want him to die. Don't just buy a new one. What's wrong with you?
Okay. Alright.
Yeah. My
introduce our guest.
My Oscar had craters in his head. I didn't know where to turn. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Wolf.
Tim Wolf, everybody.
Hell yeah.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. Where can I find you?
Good to be
sir?
Here. Oh, social media?
Yeah.
I'm
at Pump all your shit.
All of it.
TikTok, I'm Tim Wolf Comedy. Instagram, I'm Tim Wolf Comedy. And then on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, I'm Sexy Sling Blade. Because someone told me I look like Sling Blade once.
No, I don't think you look like Billy Bob Thornton.
I sure do like damn French fried potatoes. I do that, and then they're like, okay, I can see it. But it's like normally.
Nah, he's a little bit more rough.
This is, sure. when I look, every time I see Tim Wolf.
Hey, wait, hold on. You got a website, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my website is timwolfcomedy.com.
Damn, check that shit out.
Timwolfcomedy.com.
Wolf with an E at the end.
Wolf with an E. Wolf with an E.
You think, I wonder how many times that's messed me up because people don't know my name has an E at the end.
Probably.
Right. They probably think it's Wolf.
There's probably a Tim Wolf without the E that's doing really well right now.
Yeah. Comedically. That Tim Wolf.
Got a Netflix special and all that.
Man.
He's killing it. He's posting all your shit, just doing shit behind the scenes, mm-hmm. Green screening it.
Yeah. He doesn't have to do any of his PetSmart material, not knowing that he doesn't even have any PetSmart material.
Yeah, none of it.
None.
He doesn't work there.
No,
Tim Wolf without an E.
Without an E.
Episode of the Midnight Paco Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
You know, when I look at Tim Wolf, I think of a young Matthew Broderick, and the only thing I can think of, Ferris Bueller, Bueller,
Bueller,
Bueller. But this is Tim Wolf, and he's like one of the comedians that, you know, me and Justin, we saw like in our novice years when we were like just starting, and it was like, I saw this dude tear the room up.
Yeah. I'm like, shit.
We got a lot of work to do, man. This dude just tore it up. Like,
plus he just strolls in. You know what I mean? Just, like, you know, nonchalant.
Like, I'm Tim Wolf. I'm going to do some comedy. Yeah.
It's like the lore. Like, and then he just goes up there and fucking rips the room up.
Tear the room up. Tim Wolf.
Well, the trick is, yeah, you just have to be, like, really scared of failing. And then the scarier you are of failing, the more successful you'll be, because you're like, I don't want to fail like that.
Right. So how long have you been doing it?
since 2012, so 12 years now. A little over 12 years.
Veteran in the game.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So you're at the sweet spot. You should be, well, actually, you we talked behind the scenes. You are traveling.
Yeah. I've been going to a few places. I just got back from Arizona.
Nice.
And did some shows in North Carolina and South Carolina, Virginia, nice. Pennsylvania.
Traveling.
Basically, anywhere that's not on the West or Central.
Yeah, that shit costs a lot.
Too much money. Yeah. He doesn't want to buy a ticket to that far away.
Hey, man, hit the coast. Just go up and down. Shit, you know. But at least you're out there and you've been getting booked.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Hold on, I got a microphone.
So Tim Wolf did a lot of traveling, and you know, you've been doing comedy for like 12 years. What are some of your comedy influences? Who did you watch and was like, I want to do that?
Yeah, that's one thing we really didn't touch on. Pretty good.
Actually, well, the first comic, when I was really young, I remember my mom watching a lot of Bill Hicks.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this guy's pretty funny. So that was like the first one. But I'd say as far as my own comedic, because he was more social and political commentary.
Yeah.
So I'd say for me, it was probably Louis C.K.
Louis C.K.?
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Doug Stanhope. Like when I started doing comedy, I started listening to Stanhope, and I was like, this guy's... Like, I always admire comics that can make it sound like they're just coming up with it off the top of their head, and he's one of the best at that. Where it's like, you know that it's a very, like, intricately plotted joke, but he's doing it, like, as if he's just thinking of it right now. And I always envy that, because I always feel like if you can make it sound like you're just coming up with it randomly, then it doesn't even matter if it's funny, because the audience is like, this guy's nuts, and we want to hear what he has to say. But if they know that you're doing a bit, they kind of just go, ugh, I don't know if this guy's cool.
Yeah, that's the problem with, even I think with some of the stuff I still do now, it's like it doesn't sound as robotic as it used to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it doesn't sound like I'm up there just talking to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just yet, kind of. You know, it's just, they know it's a bit, basically.
I think it comes with, like, comfortability. You know what I mean? Like, the more comfortable you are on stage, and everybody has their routine of what makes them comfortable. One of my things that I personally do is I might come into a room and I speak to people. I don't necessarily tell them that I'm about to go on stage, but, you know, I may have conversations with them, and then I'll go on stage, and then I hear this all the time, like, why you didn't tell me you were going to go up on stage? But I'm like, you know, I'm just, you know, I feel comfortable that way. It's like you're talking to people that you're familiar with. I have grown from that, you know, because I used to, like, not look at nobody. But, you know, it's like, you know, like, when I saw Tim, like, he did his thing. It was just like, you were comfortable, you were looking at people.
Was I? I never notice if I'm looking at people. I'm always like,
you don't record your sets?
I don't record the video, but I record the audio. But I don't like watching myself in video.
Yeah, I mean, it was like certain comedians, Jay, that you and I discussed, like when we first went up, like the comfortability of Patrick Madison, the comfortability of Dean 2000, of Chad.
Yeah, Chad.
I am Chad.
Yeah,
you know, the comfortability of. Patrick Madison.
Yep.
I mean, I think the comfortability comes from, like, okay, I know this joke's worked most of the time, so I'm comfortable telling it because it's worked most of the time.
Right.
And then the more jokes that you have like that where you're like, okay, this is a pretty good success rate on this joke, so then you kind of, like, if I do a joke that doesn't hit, I'm like, well, I got this other joke coming up that usually gets a laugh, so I'm comfortable still because I got this joke coming up. I feel like it's just more quantity of jokes. Like, the more jokes you have where you're comfortable with them, the more comfortable you'll be on stage. Whereas even at, like, 5 or 6 years in, I was like, I don't really know if any of this is going to work or not. But, like, when you've been doing it, like, a decade, you're like, if these jokes don't work by now, I shouldn't even be doing this.
Right.
So how do you...
just get this comfortability naturally, I think, as time goes on.
How do you... Okay, so, you know, I got somebody that's got some experience. How do you deal with... And I call it crickets. Like, sometimes when you go and you do a joke and you expect to laugh and it don't hit, it used to really mess with me mentally. Like, I used to call it tripping on crickets. Like,
Yeah.
How did you deal with that? Like,
I used to have lines that I would say when jokes didn't work, and I haven't really done them lately.
I used to have a joke where I'm like, you know, every joke that bombs, I'm going to put like one bullet in a revolver. and I've already had five jokes bomb, so I only got like one slot left. I hope that you guys laugh at this next joke or whatever. Some stupid shit like that, and they would like laugh at it. But like now I just kind of let it, I just kind of move to the next joke. I might say something in between the jokes just to keep it. Because if you do the joke and it bombs and you say nothing, then the crowd's kind of like, ugh. But if you do the joke, and sometimes when you point out that it didn't work, you'll be like, oh, that didn't really work that well. Then they kind of laugh at that, and then you move on to the next joke. Whereas before, I would get so flustered by the joke not working, I would try to pretend it didn't happen. But I think I learned watching, I used to love watching Conan O'Brien back in the day, like in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like Conan was like one of my inspirations when I was a kid.
Okay.
And he would do his monologue, and whenever a joke didn't work, he would make fun of himself. And I always remember that being like, you know, I didn't like Leno because he would just kind of pretend the joke didn't even happen if it didn't work. But Conan would be like, man, that joke sucked, huh? And then people would laugh. And I guess I kind of ascribe to that philosophy where if you kind of make fun of yourself, the crowd will give you some credit for it.
Yeah. And so I'm a person that, you know, that's dealing with, like, this is where I'm at. Like, your personality off stage could be different with on stage, because I have a different personality off stage than I do on stage.
Well, I was going to say, even like before, when you were talking about before you go on stage, you talk to people around. It's like, that's something me and him really don't do.
Right. I mean, so, no. Okay. All right. So
I'm not the best at it, people.
All right. So
I'll talk to you if you talk to me, but I'm not just going to walk up to people and be like, hey.
So Justin, you've been around me. So you know, for the most part, like when I'm out, I'm quiet, but I do talk to people.
Yep.
Like when people approach me,
oxymoron.
It is kind of.
It is.
I mean, I like people. I love people, but it's just like, you know what? It's like, okay, so I can say this. I think I can say this about both of you guys. Like, public speaking is not one of your favorite things.
No.
I mean, I've done it, so I don't really have a problem, but it's just walking up to strangers. Now, if somebody comes up to me and talks to me, I'll talk to them back, but just out of the blue walking up to somebody and saying, hey, how you doing? My name is so-and-so. Just sparking up conversation out of thin air is just not something I'm used to doing at all.
And that's not you either, Tim.
No, I mean, I acted a lot when I was a kid, but it's different from comedy because when you're acting, you're a character.
Right.
And when you're doing stand-up, it's like just you. So it's different. It's not really the same thing. Like, I could pretend to be somebody else and it'd be fine. But if I have to be myself, it's kind of like harder because it's like, well, I don't have anything to hide behind now. Like, you could hide behind a character when you're acting, but you can't hide behind a character when you're doing stand-up unless it's like, you know, that's your whole thing. Unless you're Jeff Dunham and you're talking through puppets,
right?
Then you can be like, "Oh, the puppet said that." I don't say that. But if it's just you, you don't really have that excuse. So I always struggle with that. Yeah.
But it's like, even like before, like just talking to, like, now, like I said, there's people at the show, or just even other comics. Sometimes, like if I'm in a room, like there's been times I've sat there with other comics, nobody said nothing to me. You know what I mean? And it's like, I've then sometimes reached out and said, hey, my name's so-and-so, you know what I mean? And you're a comic as well? And he'd be like, yeah. And it's just, but when you talk to somebody, like, out of the blue, just, you can always talk comedy, for sure. But sometimes people just don't want to be bought, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm not that approach, that guy that approaches people. Like I said, I'll sit back and talk to anybody, but, you know what I mean? That's just not me to go up to somebody and just start talking.
I think, as far as stand-ups are concerned, I feel like, and I forget this a lot, but I think the majority of stand-up comedians are, like, the exact same person, like, inside.
Yeah.
Because we all have, like, the same neurosis, the same, like, self-deprecation, the same, everything that makes us a comic is like what like, so the more I talk to comics that I feel like I would have nothing in common with, the more you realize, like, oh, we're actually all kind of the same person.
I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree with that, but still, it's like
none of us really want to work a 9-to-5 job.
Well, I mean, it's a number of things, you know. Comedy is the only thing you can do it, and you can be yourself and get paid for it. That's a valuable thing that I take pride in. Another thing is like, as far as like, there's comics out here that there are big personalities. Hey, I'm a comedian. Look at me. Or they come in a room cracking jokes, making people laugh.
Yeah.
Things like that. And, you know, that's not me at all.
Right.
But, you know, it's like my personality is way different from you guys' personality, too. Cause
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I don't know. It's like, it's weird in a way, because, you know, Tim seems like a very reserved fella, and
yeah,
like I'm only doing this so I won't get fined.
No, I mean, I always like talking to comics, but I feel like it's one of those things where you talk to people enough and they're like, oh, we thought that you were funny, or we thought that you were this, but the more that we talk to you, the more we're like, oh, he's actually not as funny as we thought, or he's not as cool as we thought. So there's always that fear where it's like, I don't want people's impression of me to be, you know, fucked up by actually talking to me. No, so it's like, I'm like...
like, never meet your heroes, huh?
No, well, no, I wouldn't... I'm not bold enough to say I'm anybody's hero, but I think that, like, the more that you talk, the more people are like, oh, the illusion that I had of you was shattered, and I'm not as impressed by you anymore. And I don't have to be impressive all the time, but I feel like I don't like to disappoint people. So when people think I'm funny, I'm like, I'd rather you just think I'm funny.
Right.
I don't act in a way that makes you think I'm not funny. I've had whole relationships with people that saw me on stage, and they're like, you must be really funny and confident. And then when they are in a relationship with me, they're like, yo, you're actually sad and insecure all the time. So I try not to have interactions like that all the time with people.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. And you know, a lot of things I've been hearing lately is like, my personality has not changed. I just happen to do comedy now.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're always the comedian. But it's like, oh, this is, I've been this way.
I mean, but even like with Tim, even if him, you know, people may expect certain things, but you actually, you know, people think that some people up there are just, you know, funny all the time. Some people actually just sit down and write shit. You know what I mean? And, the, you know, not say you're not funny off the cuff or nothing like that, but there are people that are reserved and they just sit there and write the shit out. You know what I mean? They're probably not that person in life. You know what I mean? So it's, you meet a lot of, look at Daniel Myers, man. Shout out to Daniel Myers. We tell him all the time, he's reserved as shit.
Yeah, you know, man. What I mean? In the corner all the time.
But he's always sitting and writing stuff, you know, but he's not one of those outgoing people. We tell him he needs to be more outgoing as well.
No. Yeah.
I'm kind of in the middle. You know what I mean? I'm reserved. I will be a little bit, but it's... it's tough. Like I said, just going up to people and, you know.
Yeah.
It's a skill. I tell them all the time, it's a skill. It's a networking thing. Like you said, I'm not a fan of just going up to other comedians sometimes and asking to be on shit. Yeah, no problems.
I mean,
reaching out, which sometimes you need to.
I mean, you know, it was like, you know, like, let's check Tim Wolf, for example. He's like, you know, hey, Tim, we got a podcast. I don't know if you knew it or not.
Right.
Justin and I have a podcast. We'd love to have you on. I had no problem telling him that because, you know, I'm a fan of his comedy.
Right.
And then
we're like, always cordial when we see each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If I had a podcast, there would never be anybody on it because I'd be like, I don't want to reach it. They'll probably tell me to go fuck myself.
That's
and they won't want to be on the podcast.
That's why he schedules everybody.
Yeah, you always throw them off on me. But it's okay.
I should have a podcast where I was like, I wanted to have Justin and Cordell, but I was too afraid to ask him, so I'm just going to talk about them for a little bit, and then that's going to be the episode. You guys aren't actually on it, because I'm too worried that you guys won't want to be on it, so I'll just be like, all right, this is what it would have been like if I had the balls to actually talk to people.
No, man. No,
anytime you ask, dog, we're there, dog.
Yeah, man, yeah, whatever. You know, man. Yeah, so it's like, you know, like Tim Wolf is a big deal to me. To have him on the stage. And, you know, look, we mentioned his name before. Now you can put a face.
Oh, plenty. Yep.
With Tim Wolf.
Yeah.
We've had 100, and this will be 144
episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, probably back in, like, the 20s, 30s for sure.
You ever heard the name Tim Wolf? Here he is. Right here.
Yep.
There's another Tim Wolf. because I can't create a Gmail. I can't create a Gmail that says Tim Wolf Comedy because there's already a Tim Wolf Comedy.
Really?
But I can have a website, Tim Wolf Comedy.
Because he ain't got that.
He didn't
bitch.
Take that one.
This is Tim Wolf with an E at the end.
It was with an E. I think he's an Albuquerque, New Mexico comic or something.
Oh, wow. Man.
I looked him up and I was like, no.
Yeah, I'm the only Justin Fuller comedy. There's like thousands of Justin Fullers out there.
Remember that clandestine Midnight Paco dude? Did you remember seeing that shit?
Who?
Midnight Paco. He named himself Midnight Paco.
No.
After your podcast?
I'm going to say yes, because...
otherwise, that would be a crazy coincidence.
Yeah.
Look, Dave Chappelle. Look, I always say, look, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, he has Midnight Miracle.
Yeah, come on, man.
Come on, Dave.
Come on, Dave.
Wait, who's Midnight Miracle? Is it Dave Chappelle thing?
Dave Chappelle, yeah. Mos Def, and Talib Kweli, or Yasin Bey.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Come on now, Dave.
They're on... What platform are they on?
I can't think of it right now, but I will.
It's something you got to pay for, I think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But either way, I've... Unfortunately, that's why I ain't getting the chance to listen to it as much. Because Chappelle's my dude.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. I love Dave Chappelle, but, you know, come on, Dave.
Midnight Miracle. Come on, dog.
Come on, man.
We started first.
Come on, man.
That's all. So, you comic also, you know, obviously, and writer.
Writer, yes. Tell us about some of that.
Sold some scripts.
Yeah. Well, I almost sold a script.
I
entered a script into a contest, and I was a finalist. So this guy messaged me, and he wanted to option the script for a year to see if he could get anybody that wanted to make it. And he didn't end up getting anybody, but I had a couple conversations with him back and forth. And a year passed, so I feel like he... And he hasn't had anything on IMDb since, so like his wife probably sat him down and said, stop this. You can't keep buying these shitty scripts. Your kids need food, and you're being an asshole. And it was my script that made his relationship with his wife.
I'm sure that wasn't the case.
So you
write scripts, so that's dope. Like, what type of scripts are you like into? Is it all comedy? Is it horror? What type of scripts do you write?
I like murder mysteries. I write a lot of those, but I also like dark comedies.
Okay.
So I do a comedy, but it's always too dark for people to really like it. Like, I wrote a script about a guy who shoots a bug that's on the wall with a gun, and the bullet goes through and hits his son while he's masturbating.
Oh, damn.
And then he's got to figure out, like, what to tell his wife before she gets home from work.
The fuck?
So it's, like, a really dark comedy about a guy who accidentally shot his son and killed him, and then he's like, my wife's coming home, and then the neighbor comes over, and he's like, I heard a gunshot. And then it's, like, a comedy of errors where it just ends in a massacre.
Wow.
But that was the one that somebody from Australia really liked, and they were like, you're going to get this made. But she actually told me, she's like, this is a really good script, but most people won't like it because of, like, how dark it is. She's like, but you need to keep sending this to people, and you need to keep, like, putting it out there.
No, I think that's dope.
Holy shit.
And it's the same thing with my comedy, where it's like, people are like, a lot of the stuff you're saying is, like, messed up, but it is funny, so people are going to respond to it. You just got to, like...
Find your fans,
care if people hate you, and it's like, that's a big problem for me, because I don't like people hating me.
Right, yeah.
But I'm getting... But the more longer you do comedy, the more you're like, I don't really care if people are that, like, into what I do, as long as a few people are, that's all that matters, and I'm slowly learning that it doesn't really matter.
So let me just, you know, just, I'm an older dude. Did you see Purple Rain?
Yes.
Did you see Purple Rain?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you remember when Prince was performing Darling Nikki?
Mm-hmm.
And the dude was mad, like, look, ain't nobody rocking to that shit but you.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was like, they was jamming. That shit was dope. Like, when you know, that whole performance and the music and everything, I was like, man, that was dynamite. Everybody was doing their thing, and I was digging it, but the club owner was like, stop bringing your personal shit on stage, you know, like, ain't nobody rocking that weird ass shit but you. But I, you know, I'm the one outside that was like, man, that shit was dope.
Right.
You know, the lights went out, nigga, again, nigga, dun, 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 dun. So, with that being said, with that dark stuff that you don't think nobody rocking to, it's somebody out there like, yo, that shit is genius.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem I kind of... I mean, I'm not a clean comic. I guess by standards, because the subjects I touch on, you know, are drugs, sex, you know,
fingers all, and buttholes,
all types of that stuff. But I don't swear. It's just borderline material, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Obviously, certain clean venues, I probably won't be, you know, welcome to. They're like, what the fuck is he talking about? He's all over the fucking place. Yeah. You know, but, so it's, I think we have to find our lane, like I said, and just fans have to reach out and be able to get to you. You know what I mean? That's why you got to, you know, try and open up and promote more. You know what I mean? We talked about you don't have a logo. You ain't got no merch.
Nah, I got no merch.
You got to get that shit. You got to get it together. But
with a name like Tim Wolf, man, you got many directions you can go in.
Somebody tried to fight me at an open mic once. I did a joke that they didn't like, so they tried to fight me.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't had those issues.
I was a year in or two years in, and I was doing an open mic, and the joke was, I said, I wish I had a friend that was into child pornography so that I could get really accurate movie reviews. Because if you could sit through a child getting molested and not have a problem with it, but he walked out of like Argo halfway through, it's probably not a very good movie. And then this woman turned around and she was like, not funny. And she was heckling everybody. It wasn't just me. It was everybody on the show. And she was doing it every week. And so I didn't feel bad about saying anything to her. So when she was like, not funny, I was like, well, you know, some people have the balls to get up here and do this. While other people just sit there like a bitch and judge everybody.
Whoa.
And then her husband turned around and he was like, why don't you tell a joke, pal? And I was like, all right, here's a joke. A really nice kid somewhere in the world died today and you're still alive. Isn't that funny? And then he like took his jacket off and started walking towards the stage, and then the host had to hold him back. And I had a whole table full of friends because it was when I was a year into comedy, so people actually came out to my shows.
Yeah, right.
It's weird. The newer you are, the more people come
out.
And then when you stop being new, they're like, we're not interested anymore.
Right.
We thought maybe you would kill yourself on stage and we would be entertained by that, but it looks like you're doing all right.
Hey, they lasted longer for you.
Yeah, so it's like, but anyway, like they had to take those people on the patio and calm them down, and then another comic who I really respected hugged me, and he was like, I love you so much for doing that. and I always liked, that's what I said, I like when comics like me more than audience members, and I don't think that's like a good business model for a comic. You're supposed to want the audience to like you more than the comics, but I always respected comics more than, because I'm like, I want you guys to laugh. I don't care if these people that don't do comedy.
Yeah, because you want your respect from your peers.
You want your peers to love you. But at the same time, it's like, you know, sometimes the peers, you know, like you because of the way the crowd responds to you.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a win-win if you ask me. You could be the comics comic or you could be the people's comic. You know, it's up to you.
I mean, but you're balls. You've killed in other spots. You know what I mean? It's not like you're not a good comic. So, I mean, you get the approval of both. I mean, it's just, like I said, certain material hits with certain crowds. You know what I mean? You're going to have that regardless of where you're at. That's why I really don't touch political shit at all. I'm not a big a timeline guy, I guess you can say. I don't talk about, you know, social issues or things really going on.
And sometimes we bring it up on the show.
Yeah, we'll bring it up on
just
here.
Just for the sake of time stamp.
Well, not only that. This is our platform to fucking talk about whatever we want to talk about. You know what I mean? So we'll bring up whatever is going on. But on stage, I'm not a big political guy.
I'm not
into politics either way. But it's fun. You can, as comics, we can talk about that shit. It's not like I couldn't make jokes up, but boy, you're going to piss people off. You know what I mean? Either way, it's like, you know, what do? You know? And I know you're not supposed to care, but I don't like to go for that. I'm not one that tries to reach for that shit. I just talk about my life and, you know, find the funny in some certain situations.
Well, I always gravitated towards the darker stuff because, like, if you could make crowds that shouldn't laugh at something laugh at that. Like, a lot of people like doing the dark jokes just to do dark jokes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I always liked it as, like, a test of, like, can I be clever? Can I be so clever with this premise that people kind of, like, tricked into laughing?
Mm.
Like, I did a joke about abortion, and I saw, like, a lady with a cross around her neck laughing, and I'm like, she shouldn't be laughing at this joke.
Right.
But because I made it so, like, intricate and, like, different, like, she had to laugh at it, and I always felt good about that.
I mean, abortion jokes are, I mean, they're going to have, I have no problem with people talking about any subject, but, you know, it's just certain people. But like you said, if you make it funny, there's certain people like to ride race and talk about that, and it's just fine. It just sounds racist as shit.
And that's where I'm at. Like, you know, one day, you know, after a set, you know, everybody was telling me I had a good set, and I said, thank you. Did you notice how I didn't mention race at all? And they were like, yeah. I was like, well, you don't have to mention race to be funny. Or if you do mention race, just make it be funny. Yeah. I mean, I'm not offended as long as it's funny.
Write the joke.
You know? Yeah, like, don't just but some people just say
something that you think is going to be, yeah. They,
some
yeah,
people just say
thing,
stuff
yeah.
that no premise and it's just like some mean, right. unfunny shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, come on, man. That's.
And then the people that actually do say funny things about that get lumped in with the people that just go up there to say it to say it. Right. And then it's like, it's so hard for people to respect comics that do dark jokes but actually make them. It's like if you say abortion, people are like, oh, he's like an edgelord comic.
Yeah.
But you're actually saying something that's like different and unique and interesting and like not, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like people, it's so hard for, context is so important in comedy and everything else. And I feel like it's becoming like less and less important as the years go on. Like context doesn't really matter as much anymore because they pick out the buzzwords of what you're saying, and then that's like all you're saying. They're like, "Oh, he did an abortion joke,"
right?
So it's not, but it's like, no, I did a 9/11 joke, and it was about how like, you know, I didn't go to college because of 9/11, because everybody, I was like in ninth grade when 9/11 happened, and I remember watching it on TV and being like, man, everybody in those buildings like had a degree.
You know? I remember that.
Yeah, it's like everybody in that building had a degree, and the better the degree, the higher up in the building you were. So if you were at the top of the class, you were fucked.
Yeah. Like
the only people that made it out were the associate degrees.
Yeah.
Because like, I want to be dumb enough that when the plane hits, I can just walk out the front door.
Right.
Because an entry-level job is also an exit-level job. And people want to get mad at that joke, but it's like, no, I'm actually complimenting the people in the buildings because I'm saying they're so smart that only the dumb people made it out.
Yep.
But they go, oh, he said 9/11, and that doesn't matter what else he said after that.
So I mean, the joke's fucking good joke. Come on, man.
I do best with crowds that understand more than the word, and they just listen to the whole joke, and then the crowds that kind of just, oh, he's saying this word that I don't like, and then they tune out.
Oh, hey,
like, I don't do very well in those crowds.
Yeah.
I mean, in my experience, it's been like, like one of the things that, you know, that I didn't really understand when Justin was saying in the beginning was like, he wants to do comedy at a comedy club versus a bar or something. And in my mind, I was like, look, we're funny.
We can do comedy anywhere.
Anywhere. Let's hit the streets. Let's do rooftops. Let's go. I don't care, wherever there's a microphone, we're going to rock out. But it makes sense because when you go to a comedy club, you're there to laugh versus a bar that may not be. People want you to just shut the F up while they drink their sorrows away or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I feel like
a lot of shows, you know what I mean?
Well, I feel like the more, like I always say, you need the five ingredients in order to have a good comedy show. You got to have a performer, a place to perform, sound, lights, and an audience. Without those five ingredients, you don't have a show, really.
Right.
So it's like, you know, lights is important because a lot of the things that we say, you got to have, like, you got to have a visual on the comic and things like that.
Well, we talk about, too, the venue's got to be in on it. You know, no TVs on.
Yeah, no TVs, no pool playing, no music playing. Keep the chatter to the minimum, but not the laughter, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like. But, you know,
speaking of which, hold on, have you done any hosting?
Yeah, I hosted a few times. I mean, it's definitely the thing I'm worst at, I think.
Okay, so you're like
a host has to be, like, high energy and optimistic, and I just take the mic and I'm like, I'm sad and we're all going to die one day. And people are like, I don't like this host.
Right.
But when I have to, I'm pretty all right at hosting.
Okay.
Definitely, like, just keep it short and do the short jokes. I have enough short jokes now that aren't really dark that I can do a hosting set. When I was like 5 years in, I'm like, I don't really know what to do. But now that I'm 12 years, I'm like, I have a 5-minute hosting set I can do.
Okay.
And then, you know, just bring people up and announce, you know, the stuff that you have to announce. So I've done it a few times, but it's not the thing that I enjoy the most.
Yeah, I'm more of a, I like to show up and do my set.
Yeah.
And relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got any napkins?
Let me go grab something.
Well, I could have did that.
Well,
I could do that. I just wanted if I didn't have to get up.
Yeah, no, I got it. It's over there. As he bumps everything.
Outside of hosting, you know, Justin and I, we always prided ourselves on not going up on stage, even on open mics without notepads, without the phone.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I don't usually take a notepad or anything like that on stage, but lately for headlining sets, I'll put like a notepad on the stool,
mm-hmm.
just so I have it in my mind that if I need it, I'll look at it. But I never write the whole joke. I just write like a bullet point. I'll write cheesecake or something, and Pet I'll do Smart. Like a cheesecake joke or PetSmart, yeah, and then I'm like, okay, I'll do PetSmart.
So no, basically with that technique, nobody in the audience really knows that.
Yeah, I mean, they might know it, but I don't think it really distracts from the show because I don't use it very much.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look at it like I'm checking my phone or something. I'll leave my phone on top of the notepad, and then if I... It'll look like I'm checking the time.
Okay.
And I'll just have the notepad there. I mean, if I was standing there with it in my hand and reading off of it, that right. would be bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't really think there's an issue with if you're doing like an hour-long set or 45 minutes or whatever, just leaving like a piece of paper on the stool and kind of glancing at it from time to time.
No, yeah, because it's funny as we form these bits, it's like, because I got like the Aquaman bit, the Google bit. You know what I mean? You yeah. name these bits, you know, in your head, Amber Alert shit, you know what I mean? Show enough.
Yeah. Right.
Like all these different bits in your head, so it's able to remember, like, boom, okay. But it's fun, man. You know, so you said you have, like, a five-minute set or anything. So when you go do a show, do you know kind of what you want to do, or do you show up and be like, okay, I see what's going on. Let me pull.
I used to, when I first started, I would write down everything I was going to say verbatim.
Yep.
Like, from the, like, how you doing, everybody, to the, like, good night, thank you for having me. Like, that ending, I would write every single thing verbatim. And then when I watch videos of myself from back then, I'm like, oh, my God, I seem like a fucking robot.
Yeah.
And it sounds like everything I'm saying is so fake.
Yes.
So now I think I kind of got away from that. And now I just kind of know the first joke and the last joke. And then I let the crowd kind of dictate, like, how the rest of it goes. Yeah.
Okay.
Because if I notice that, say I notice, like, the comic before me did really good with sex jokes, I'm like, okay, this crowd likes the sex jokes.
Bet.
Or if they didn't like the sex jokes, I'm like, all right, don't do the sex joke. I try to, like, read the room a little bit more than I did when I was first starting. And so now I'll do, like, the joke that I know hits, like, I'll open with that. And then my best joke, I'll try to close with it.
Okay.
And like lately, I've been doing this bit about my dad that almost has to be at the end because you can't talk about your dead dad and then just talk about, you know, getting blown or something.
Right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
You can't,
yeah,
it's
you
like
can't.
People are like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I got to end with the dead dad stuff. So it makes it easier to know where the thing ends. And then in the middle, I kind of just, I mean, sometimes somebody in the crowd will say something and then whatever they'll say, I'll be like, oh yeah, that reminds me of this. Like, the other day, I always feel good about things like this more so than when the jokes I wrote hit. Mm-hmm. But, like, somebody will say something about, like, beef jerky. Somebody said something about beef jerky at a show. And I was like, oh, do you like Amish beef jerky? And then I would do my Amish beef jerky joke. And then it makes it feel to the crowd like I don't really know what I'm saying. Like,
right.
And then, like, I'm just coming up with it off the top of my head.
Right.
When you're and then and I like those moments because they're the moments that I struggle with the most is, like, the spontaneity of an act.
Okay, yeah.
As opposed to, like, just writing everything you're going to say verbatim. So, like, when I started, it was very much, like, by the book exactly how I wrote it. But now I'm getting more to the point where, like, I just want to know where I start and where I end. And then I kind of mix it up in between.
Okay.
And that's pretty much how we were.
Yeah.
Like, our material was our material, but...
I'm getting to that point right now, kind of, like, trying to read the room and, like, just pull shit out of my fucking memory banks of what I used to do.
Yeah.
And that's how we were.
Sorry to hear about your father, too, by the way.
Sorry to hear about your pops. Yeah. Another thing I wanted to ask you, like, how do you feel... Okay, you said you've been doing it for 12 years.
Yeah.
So, we both have... stories that we could tell about people stealing our material.
Oh yeah.
How do you feel about?
Oh really? You have a story?
No, I don't have a story about that. Really.
You don't have any experience with people like you ever heard anybody doing some jokes? Be like, that sounds very freakishly close to some stuff that I've talked about. You ever experienced any of that?
Yeah, but I don't think it was. It was a comic that I hadn't. He definitely hadn't seen me, and I'd only seen him once. And I think that...
Parallel thinking?
It was parallel thinking, yeah. It was a bit about... I had a bit about the Make-A-Wish kids when they bring them out to like throw the first pitch at the baseball games or something. It's like, yeah, but they're not going to let them throw the last pitch because that's really important. So you let them throw the first pitch, and then the last pitch, if they brought a kid with like Down syndrome in for the bottom of the ninth of the World Series with the bases loaded, nobody would like that. They'd just all stand up and be like, boo! And there's like the bit was about that, and then I saw another comic that was in Chicago do kind of a bit that was pretty similar, and I stopped doing that joke. But
it may not have been parallel thinking, man. You never know. Another thing is, like, how do you feel about, like, because, you know, Justin and I, we always talk about, you know, I fabricate things, he don't.
I mean,
I don't fabricate anything.
I fudge some things, little things, but not. I mean, the ideas basically are from real life. Mm-hmm. They sparked in real life, and then I'll fabricate something. Yeah, he'll just make up shit out of thin air. You know what I mean? And then go with that. You know, that's the difference.
I do that all the time.
So it's not like the concrete thing is based in reality for the most part, and then I'll fudge some details, but he makes shit up.
but see, the thing is, it's like, all right, so even with the things that I created, I know I created, because some of the stuff is like, so like, nobody else came with that up with that but me. But how do you feel about, and I've seen other comics do it, how do you feel about comics that go up there and do some, like, stock jokes?
Oh, like street jokes?
Or just, like, jokes you know damn well they didn't write.
Like, yeah, I mean, I've seen that a few times. One time I was in an open mic, and this guy did a... He did a Anthony Jeselnik joke, and then he did a Pete Davidson joke.
Oh, shit.
Almost verbatim.
Jesus.
And then I was the next comic, and then when I got up there, I was like, hey, man, I like Pete Davidson and Anthony Jeselnik, too. And then he stood up and, like, walked out, and they never saw him with that mic again. So I was like, man, I don't like that people steal jokes, but I like that when people steal jokes, I can spot it and then call them out for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what validation are you getting about yourself by doing other people's jokes?
Yeah.
Like, if you do a Kevin Hart joke and it gets a laugh, how does that make you feel good?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't come up with that joke. Yep. It was a joke that somebody else wrote.
And you didn't do it later on?
Like, the people that treat comedy like karaoke. Like, it's just like, all you gotta do is just do the joke that makes people laugh. It doesn't matter if you created it. I feel like that's pretty telling about what kind of person that is.
Yeah.
So when 100%. I see somebody stealing jokes, I'm like, I don't really worry about it, because I'm like, they're never going to actually do anything with comedy.
Although, I mean, look at Carlos Mencia, man. That shit worked for a long time. He made a career out of it.
Yeah, it took a while for people to catch up to him, though. I feel like it's much harder to steal jokes now than when 100%. He was doing it.
Yeah.
Because everybody can go online and see the same jokes and be like, all right, he stole that.
Right. Yeah. That's a good thing. You can call somebody out quicker, you know what I mean?
Because of the internet.
Yeah.
Everybody can record something. Even if I have material that I haven't posted and I see somebody doing it, I can pull it up and it's the time and date stamp on my phone. Like, yeah. This is my shit.
Yeah.
Parallel thing is a mother sucker, man. But when, like I said, it was pretty goddamn close. That's all I'm saying.
What joke did you think it was stolen from you?
Not from me. From you. I mean,
I personally witnessed somebody doing Justin's joke at a bar. And this was like, I used to host a room, and some guy came in telling Justin shit. And I'm like, hey, Justin, somebody just told you shit.
That was just somebody sitting at a bar.
Don't matter. Yeah, somebody's telling you a joke.
Come on, man. That was just something. That's nothing. I'm talking about on stage.
Well, somebody,
I mean, I've had a premise where I've been like, I never heard you say that before, but he has a joke where he talks about going to fast food restaurants, you know, if you already have fast food. He's like, sometimes you need Taco Bell, you know, with your fries or some shit.
Sometimes you need Wendy's fries with your Taco Bell. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And you know, I've heard that from somebody on the rise, female, at a show. Goddamn, I mean, it's pretty identical. Pretty identical. And I ain't saying there's not parallel thinking. But when you say the same thing, sometimes you need this with that, it's almost like the same phrasing. And I'm not saying, you know, somebody's seen. It's just...
Well, this is what I said.
It's pretty close, and it's in the same area.
This is what I said to that. Did people laugh, Justin?
Yeah. Oh, it's a great joke. Great joke.
Did you say people laugh?
Yes.
And I said, well, you're welcome, bitch.
I know. I get it.
I'll create more. But you know what I mean?
It's crazy if it wasn't stolen. You know what I mean? If it wasn't somehow leaked or... Parallel Thinking is a super mother sucker, boy. I know this world is what it is. And I mean, I know that's not the hardest joke to kind of come up. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the phrasing of...
And the cadence and everything.
Yeah, it's the difference. You know, it's all I'm saying. That's what...
Like I said, fucking, you're welcome.
That's what threw me off.
Yeah, if I see somebody talking about my dead dad like it's their dad, I'll be like, all right, this is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah,
for sure. Then it's almost ready to fight.
Right. Or if I see a 15-minute PetSmart bit, I'll be like, you didn't have a 15-minute PetSmart. No, that was the only me.
But even like...
I don't get mad, but little jokes, I don't... Whatever. If they're close... If I feel like two people could have come up with the same joke, then I'm not that upset. But if it's such a unique premise that I'm like, it could only come from me and somebody took it, that would make me mad.
Right. I get it. I mean, I like, that's like with my Amber Alert bit joke. It's not too fucking, you know.
What's your Amber Alert joke?
I basically just say, you know, I'm done with them, you know.
And you're done with them.
I'm fucking done with them. You know, not only do they wake you up in the middle of the night, but like, they don't give you no updates. Like, I had never been asleep at 2 a.m. I heard, beep, we found Julie. He's giving you all this good information, you know.
See, I have one about Amber Alerts waking you up. It's like, I was like, I thought that was my work alarm. And then you're like, I'm going to hit the snooze button on Billy. And then you're like, let me know if he's still missing in 5 minutes. And people don't like that, but so many people have Amber Alert jokes that if I heard the similar Amber Alert joke, I'd be like, all right, I guess that was on me.
Yeah, I personally never heard like a lot of
Amber Alert jokes. But then I ask if anybody's been kidnapped, and I talk about a story about me almost being kidnapped, you know, and shit like that, and I just take it, you know, stupid shit, right? But it's one of those things where it's like, I kind of put my joke out there just so nobody, because it's one of those things around, it's like, I like it, you know what I mean? And I didn't want nobody to fucking take it, you know? Yours is different. It's a different thing, you know what I mean?
It's a different
thing. And like I said, even the premise with my Google joke, it's about Googling your name. Now, I never heard this other comic say it prior to me doing it, but it's still going to be a different joke. Because no matter what, different names... You know what I mean? But it was the first time I was like, after I did it, I was like, okay. You know what I mean?
I just want to mention something real quick. This has nothing to do with nothing. I never met a blue I didn't like. Justin, you have on a great shirt. It's a great blue shirt.
Oh, yep.
And Tim Wolf has a fantastic
shirt
as well. Look at that shirt. I mean, that's one nice shirt. Ain't it slick? I like that blue. Like I said, I never met a blue I didn't like.
That's what's up.
And is this a new blue shirt? You guys have a few of these blues.
Nope.
That was just for you, man.
Really, just for me.
I bought that shit today.
That's awesome.
Hot off the presses.
Just for you.
This is an honor. I appreciate it.
No, man. We're happy to have you on before you fucking go famous on us. Tim Wolf is here. You know, he was here. I know
we're trying to capture all the locals before they fucking rise out. And fucking never come back.
How nerdy I am. I saw him on Duke It Out with Duke Watson. You know, I saw Tim Wolf on there.
Goddamn right.
Oh, Duke Watson, yeah.
Shout out to Duke. Is he still doing
Is Duke still doing stuff?
I don't know, but I saw Tim Wolf on there, and I'm like, how dare he do his show before he talks? Like, how dare he does his podcast before... No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I saw Tim on there. It's like, you know, I don't know if Duke's still doing it. Shout out to Duke Watson.
Shout out to Duke Watson.
Yeah. Duke It Out.
Yeah, man, it's, you do that, so you're acting.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I started in, community theaters in Youngstown.
Nice.
I did Henry and Ramona, I did Treasure Island, I did, Underground Railroad. I told somebody, they're like, who the fuck were you in Underground Railroad?
Oh, shit, yeah.
I was like, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Okay.
I was Harriet Tubman.
Nice!
No, I was...
Pretty pretty diverse thing.
No, I did a bunch of community theater stuff, and then I did a commercial for a credit union near my parents' house. They asked me, because I was doing these community theater plays, and they asked me to come in and read a script. And I always thought that when you did a commercial, you had to sound super corny.
Right, right.
Because every commercial I'd seen, they always sounded corny.
So they do it like this.
Yeah, so it was for like this credit union called 717 Credit Union. And so they gave me the script, and it was like, 717 Credit Union, because of them, I can like, my dad can afford all these Christmas presents to buy on for the family. So when I got the script, I went in the booth and I was like, thanks to 717 Credit Union, my dad can... And then he was like, cut. And he was like, can you sound more like a regular human being? Instead of just like a nutcase that really likes credit unions. And then so at the next take, I got it all right. But I just thought back then you had to be a cornball.
Right. Oh, well, yeah. Then, radio voice.
Radio voice. But yeah, I did some acting, and now I'm more into writing because
behind the scenes.
The older I get, the less comfortable I am in front of like cameras and people.
I get you.
So it's like, all right, I'd rather just write and let other people, you know, take the fall if the writing's not good or if I give somebody a joke and it works for them. I'm like, all right, I'm glad that joke worked, and now I don't have to worry about any of their other jokes working.
See that. That's a good personality to have, because I think about that, and it's like, you ever think about you giving somebody a joke and like, I could have gave that. I want to do that joke. Or, you know what I mean? It's like, you performing the joke, like, now that you know the hints, too.
What about we wrote a great joke for Von Wesley, and he didn't want it?
Oh, yes! What joke did you write for Von?
Yeah! Hit it, Jay! I have a friend who got a DUI, who had a car, you had to blow in to start it. Man, I hate giving blowjobs.
He didn't want to do that?
No!
Oh, Vaughn.
In his cadence and everything.
Yeah, I thought that was genius, man.
I hate giving blowjobs. I don't know.
Vaughn's funny, because he'll send me jokes, and he'll be like, what do you think about this? And I'll be like, what if you said this instead of that? And he'll be like, okay, Tim. I'm like, why are you even asking me if you're not going to take what I said into consideration?
Shut the mamas. Vaughn, what is
this? I love Vaughn, but it's like when he sends me jokes, I'm like, what if you said this? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not. Why? What's the point of it then?
And I told him to bring back his
piece of cake joke.
Piece of cake joke. What was it? I had a friend around said I could eat a piece of cake in 10 seconds or some shit. He's like, I said, that's a piece of cake.
It's a piece of cake.
Some shit. I mean, I butchered it.
Yes, you did. You did it. No justice at all. And you didn't sound like Von Wesley either.
It's still a good joke. It's a silly joke, but it always kind of
shout out to Von Wesley.
Shout out to Von Wesley. Whatever. It's about Tim Wolf. And you ignoring his fucking...
I gave... you guys know Brian Gallagher, right?
Yes.
I gave Brian a... Well, he had the premise, because he was like, I have a joke about giving my grandma a weighted blanket for Christmas, but I read that old people could get trapped under weighted blankets, and he's like, but I don't know how to make that funny. And I was like, what if you said you got your grandma a weighted blanket, but you found out that old people get trapped under them, so you didn't get her one, you were like, I don't know about that. And then you wanted to get her an electric blanket, but you heard that old people can like get burnt from electric blankets. You're like, so I just got her both. and he did that joke, and it got a big laugh. And that was the one where I was like, I should have maybe, even though it was his premise, so I was like, I couldn't really do it in the first place.
Right.
I was like, if I could have done a joke that I hadn't given to somebody else, it probably would have been
that one.
Yeah.
That
one. Shout out to Brian.
He used
Brian's,
to do more singing shit.
Brian's awesome. I always like, he's super nice. And he did some animation for me. Like, I had a video of one of my jokes that he drew. It was like awesome. My sleep paralysis joke. It was a really good animation. He did a good job with that.
Nice. Shout out to Brian.
So, all right, cool. You brought up sleep paralysis. Do you experience sleep paralysis?
Sometimes. If I sleep on my back.
Yeah.
But if I sleep on my side, it's fine.
It was a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it was advertising, but have you seen it lately?
No.
It freaked me the fuck out.
No. What is it for?
I'll show you afterwards. But I can't think what it was. I didn't care what it was for. I was just like, how dare they put this commercial on for the world to see? I was very offended. But anyway.
Yeah. Do you get sleep paralysis?
I don't. The only time I felt where I couldn't move was because I did LSD and my body was just exhausted.
Yeah, that was probably the LSD.
Yeah, it was just the LSD.
Yeah, yeah. But I would remind you.
I've been where I've slept and I can't move, where I feel like my body doesn't move and my eyes wake up and it feels like a struggle to finally move my body, but I don't see anything. Like, he's experienced other stuff through, you know, sleep paralysis. Yeah. So that's why he's talking about that. And yeah. I've never had those experiences or anything.
I have a friend who's like a born again Christian, and he was like, you know, whenever I get sleep paralysis, I say Jesus's name and like I snap out of it. Jeez. And I was like, I say fuck and I snap out of it, so I don't know if it's just completely like, I think you could say anything and snap out of sleep paralysis. It's the idea that you can't move or say anything, and so then once you say something or move, you snap out of it. But he was like, the only way to get out of sleep paralysis is Jesus.
Well, you know what? Man, come on. It's funny you said that, because I was a part of a support group on Facebook, and I didn't get into it, but I sort of got into it with someone. And she said something like similar to that. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't work. And then she was like, just because you don't believe, that don't mean you should discourage others from believing in this, that, and other. And I said, you know what? You are right. Everybody just pray on it. And we don't even need this support group anymore. Yeah. Problem solved. Just pray on it and you won't have sleep paralysis no more. You don't need to go to the doctor or anything or worry about it. Just pray on it and it'll go away.
Yeah. Wonder if that works for overdoses too. They're like, let's get the Narcan, and they're like, no, we're just saying, let's say Jesus just, over and over again.
Yeah.
They're gonna come out of it.
Right. So come on.
You have it frequently?
Not frequently. I have it less now, but when I lived in Chicago, I slept on a couch, and the couch, I would kind of like be trapped on my back when I slept. So that's mostly what I would have.
Yeah, I think it's something on your back, man. It has something to do with your back, dude. I think every time I slept on my back, I had nightmares. So I never like sleep on my back.
I don't know.
I think it's something to do with your back.
You know, this is what I can say from my personal experience. It don't matter if it's day or night. It don't matter if it's dark or light. It don't matter if you're on your back or not. It doesn't matter if you, like, it's definitely not alcohol. It's definitely not drugs, because I started initially when I was in kindergarten. Mm. I wasn't depressed. I wasn't using alcohol. I wasn't smoking weed when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
I wasn't depressed about shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, G.I. Joe and Hulk Hogan was my heroes. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good time. You know, the Transformers, you know, I was
awesome.
So it was like, I wasn't depressed about anything. So it's just like, no, and no. It's not sleeping when you're with your eyes open, because, you know, why are we all from, you know, that never met each other, seeing the same little figure or the same entity or whatever they call. I never wanted to title it. I never wanted to call it a demon or angel. One thing I can call it is an intruder, because we didn't ask it to be here. I think it's several different ones. But, you know, not to be
shit. I did, no, not sleep paralysis, but one time I did DMT.
Whoa, that's a different thing. You saw the dude?
And I didn't see the jester people, but I heard them.
Ah.
And anytime I see people having like the same experiences with the same, like, certain, like, people would be like, I was on mushrooms and I saw like this, and then other people are like, I was on mushrooms and I saw that too. I like really think that is something when people have the same visions.
Right.
And I had the DMT trip was so weird. I was in Chicago, and like, this girl that I was hanging out with, she did DMT. And I was at her apartment. She's like, do you want to do DMT? And I was like, all right. Because I knew that the trip only lasted 15 minutes.
Right.
And I was like, I could do a trip for 15 minutes. That's fine.
Yeah.
But she was like, be careful, because sometimes I trip and it feels like years have gone by.
What the fuck?
And woo! I'm like, all right, well, I hope that doesn't happen. Yeah, but I'm going to smoke this. And I smoked it. And I like fell through the floor. And I was in this like room that felt as real as this room right here. And I could hear people behind me going like, that's him. He's right there. Fuck. And I was like, I don't want to turn around because I don't know if I don't know if I'm dressed appropriately for this world, wherever I'm in. But I remember feeling like I was in a walking dream, and I felt like that was really, really cool. And I got stuck in like this time loop where I couldn't get out of it because I kept waking up and like looking at the girl that I was hanging out with, and she was not moving. And then I would wake up and look at her again, and she wasn't moving. And then I wake up and look at her again, and she wasn't moving. I did that like 10 times. Whoa. And I was like, oh my god, this is gonna be like years of this. I'm gonna be waking up and looking at her for years. And then it ended up just not being that long, but it still felt longer than 15 minutes. But I like loved that. Yeah. I'm not a big hallucinogens person. I mean, I've done mushrooms a few times. I've never done acid. But the DMT trip was, like, amazing. I wish I could have that experience all the time.
Yeah, I want to try that.
Is that the toad?
Or what? Yeah, what was it? A toad? Or did you hit, like, a
No, she had, like, a rig that you put, like, it looked like a breath mint, but it was, like, a piece of white bark or something. She puts it in this, like, little apparatus with a blowtorch, and you light it up, and
all right.
You sure that wasn't crack?
It could have been crack. Yeah, it might have been crack. It could have been crack.
Damn!
I might have smoked DMX, not DMT.
Come on!
Damn. No, that was
really
fun. Shit. No, it cured my vertigo. I'm not scared of like heights anymore. I used to get nervous when I was in high buildings, and now I don't get nervous.
That's fine.
Nice.
Nice. I've always wanted to look up like a first shaman and fucking actually do the fucking toad and like the real shit and blast off.
Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson shit.
You know.
What is that, like licking the toad? Is that what that is?
No, they find the toad, they find the gland, they squeeze it off, and then it dries up, and they scrape it, and you smoke that shit. So they always have this powder, because that's what it is. It's this gland from this frog that they fucked the Bufios frog or some shit, but yeah, they fucking squeeze this gland onto a mirror, and they let it dry up, and they scrape it, and they fucking smoke it, and then blast off in a fucking...
Damn.
So come on, man. Tell me that's not crazy as fuck that's something like that's out there in the world for you to experience. Well, I mean,
because you know, God protects his creatures.
And then
creatures.
They got ayahuasca, where you can actually just grab these fucking roots or whatever plants from fucking the jungle and mix them together. And
I think the thing that turns me off about that is vomiting.
Yeah. I hate throwing up. Yeah, that sounds bad.
Yeah, I don't want it.
That's why I don't ride. Do you ride roller coasters?
You know what? When I was younger, I did. Now that I'm in my 40s, that's out.
I don't mind. I'm just, you know, me, because sometimes we'll go in, like, I haven't gone in a while, but last time I was kind of high, and then all I just thought about was fucking Final Destination. You know what I'm saying?
That third one, yeah.
It's just, you know, you just think about going on these rides and fucking faulty shit, and then, but I enjoy them. You know what I mean?
I can't do the spinning.
I can't do the loops, yeah.
Yeah.
I can do straight down, but I can't do the loops.
I'm still not a fan of that.
Oh, that yeah, that's the
fucking
best.
Hills.
They're clacking worse. Who's talking about?
It's going down, baby.
Oh, my God. This is the fucking... I was talking to this young lady, and she said that she's a rider and this, that, and other. And I said, cool. You ever been on the Magnum and didn't pull it all the way down and left it like a couple of clicks up?
Why would you do such a thing?
So you can float, man. We all float down here. What you mean? That's the fuck out of here, faulty ass shit.
That sounds scary.
Y'all don't want to float?
No, not that bad. Go on the motherfucking thing that drops you, the power tower.
Look, that's you know how it clicks all the way down instead of clicking it all the way down?
Exactly.
Leave it up a couple clicks.
Yeah, so you can fly up to that fucking...
And when you're going down, you go up a little bit. You're like, shit, I'm coming out this month.
Yeah, that's exciting until you piss yourself.
I'm too big to... I can't... You know?
So, yeah, and then you just knock the thing out of fucking... Nope.
Yeah, come on. You gotta... You
have to don't do that, people.
Yeah.
We all float down here.
Don't do it.
We all
wear float. Your seatbelts on the Magnum.
Yes.
Wear your seatbelt, but don't click them all the way. That's all.
I think it's the one that... Because it don't do flips.
I'm talking about the one that come down on you. Click, 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 click. Instead of pushing it down.
The standing one, the Mantis...
Don't click Raptor. It down all the way. Yeah, those are all fun. Float a little bit, you know.
I mean, those aren't that, you know, Captain Jacks and shit.
If your cedar point pictures look like how mine look, you know how you get the pictures and you look all unconcerned, you might not want to click it down all the way. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. my girlfriend wants to go to the roller coasters, the upside down ones, and I was like, you might just have to like find a new boyfriend because
I'm not gonna do that. Well, I got a bit about that too, you know. I'm the guy that's, you know, holding all the phones, the purses, the coats, yeah, right. The prizes. You know, that's me. I'll be holding everything, sunglasses, because I'm not getting on it.
He's scared.
I am scared.
He's, I know, scared. I'd be that one guy that you hear about that gets, like, decapitated from the tunnel and shit, and I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Every time, that's why I haven't gone in a while, but, you know, that's just all money, and I'm sure I'll go. I don't mind. But you think about shit, Final Destination. Dude, I got an elevator at the job that reminds me of Final Destination every time I get on that bitch.
Oh, shit, Daniel, fuck your elevator.
Do DMT and then get on a roller coaster. That would be...
Fuck
absolutely
no.
Absolutely, no. Absolutely, uh-uh.
No, but I do want to try it.
Hey, do you have any upcoming shows or anything you want to...
Oh, I got... I'm doing Margarita King in Niles.
Hey.
Oh, shit.
On August 10th.
August 10th. Okay.
And I'm doing...
That's the Funny Farm, right?
Yeah, the Funny Farm.
Shout out to the Funny Farm. Shout out to David.
Yeah, Dave has been... Like, I don't even know if I'd still be doing it if it wasn't for Dave Robich. He's given me more opportunities than anybody else.
Are you headlining that show?
No, Kirk Bogus is headlining it, but I'll be doing like
feature
25-30 minutes.
Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Smile Hustler out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, JD's really awesome.
Yeah.
I'm doing Baxter's in Akron, Baxter's Speakeasy. I'm doing that tomorrow, August 1st at 8 o'clock, I think it is.
Okay. So that would have already happened when this airs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It'll be too late for anybody watching. But, yeah, August 10th, I'll be at Niles.
But check your website.
Yeah, go to, what's your website again?
TimWolfComedy.com.
Wolf with an E.
Wolf with an E.
Wolf with an E.
Yeah, yeah. Man, do you think I should take the E off my name just to make it easier for comedy?
No, because that's you, and that's, you know, maybe specific on how they may find you. You know,
your name is spelled with E, right?
It's with E, so yeah, you got to ride with it. Maybe that can make it specific. That's where you can make it with that, like Wolf Eyes or some
like,
shit.
Yeah, and then the logo, I'm Tim Wolf with an E, bitch.
At the end, or
yeah, there's got to be a Wolf thing with PetSmart. I can like combine my last name and PetSmart or something, and make it a and then until I get it, like a cease and desist from PetSmart, I can keep doing that.
Yeah, right.
Like, why go through that? Don't do that.
Like, I'm one of your best employees.
And like, stop it.
Is that a scorpion?
So, yeah, you got to think of a logo so you can get your shit out there.
Hell yeah,
you
know Tim. I mean?
Got to get that merch. Because you look at people right now, he's going to be famous.
In addition to, you know, your upcoming dates and stuff, what can we expect to see more from Tim Wolf? Any more scripts or any acting gigs? Or are you opposed to any of that?
Well, my roommate does a lot of filming. He's like a cinematographer, so I feel like that's probably a sign that I should start trying to make some of the movies that I've been writing.
Yeah.
But, and him and I have been friends for years, so I would be comfortable doing some stuff with him. So
nice.
I might try to work on some short films and stuff like that. But I mean, as far as comedy, I mean, I'll be doing that until I don't like it anymore and I still like it. So I'll keep doing that. But yeah, I'm trying to do more film and stuff, acting and maybe other things like that. But
did you we'll want see. To shout out your roommate or no?
Oh, yeah. Steve Mers is my roommate. He's shout a very funny shout Cleveland
Steve
comic.
Steve Mers.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen Steve do comedy?
I can't.
He's a really good one-liner guy.
Is he?
I really respect one-liner guys because it's like really hard to do a whole set of one-liners.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Vaughn Wesleys and the Marty Malloys. Like
Vaughn Wesleys, yeah.
Well, see, well, there's a difference between them two because Vaughn will sit in his one-liner and the laughter, and then Malloy, boy, he just...
rattles through.
He just goes, baby.
Get his
teeth planted. He's got a lot of them. You know what I mean?
No.
There's a lot of them, so that's a lot of writing right there, man.
Yeah,
it's good. Well, the good thing about, you know, script, you know, filming and everything, you know a lot of comics, so you think about roles for people, who they would play in movies and what they, you know what I mean. So that's, we got a wealth of fucking actors around and shit. So that's the beautiful thing about this place is, you know, the comedy and the acting, and there's people doing things here, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Cleveland is like a best kept secret.
You know?
A lot of talent here in Cleveland.
That's right.
Well, the Ohio area, period, you know.
Yep.
Because you're originally from Warren.
Yeah. Yeah, I started in the Youngstown Comedy Syndicate.
Nice.
So shout out to the Youngstown Comedy.
Shout out to Youngstown. Shout out to iHolla. Shout out to Huff.
iHolla, Huff. Shane Herman.
Yeah.
All those guys. Jason. Aaron Scardino.
Jason. Yep.
A lot of funny. That's the thing about Cleveland and Youngstown that I like is that it's like comedians, but they're not cutthroat. They're all just kind of. It's not as clicky as I feel like the bigger market cities are, like Chicago and New York and stuff.
Right.
You can actually make friends. I mean, there are cliques everywhere you go, but yeah. I mean, you could make more friends, I feel like, in Cleveland and Youngstown than you can in the bigger cities.
Well, I think you know why, because we're all trying to make it. And in a sense, in the bigger cities, you know, when you're from here, like you know, I grew up in Erie, so obviously it's a small market. Cleveland's one of the bigger markets, obviously. But when we're there's people here making it, but it seems like you're not making it because it's in Cleveland.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You eventually have to move from Cleveland to somewhere else, so it's like nobody's really like that.
You do, but you don't. You just got to make the connections somewhere else. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because think about it like this. You know, you got a lot of people, their home club, okay, is the Comedy Store. But they travel out to make the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's just where they're at. And it's okay, it's in L.A. and this and that or whatever the case. So it's a lot of prestige and this and that. But they're still traveling out to fucking West Virginia to do a show or some other place to do a fucking show. You know what I mean? They're not just there all the time. So, I mean, Cleveland's a good base to fly out of to pretty much anywhere, you know. So it's just making that community that we're trying to build, you know, with our podcast, you know, and with the comedians here, we're going to try and branch out to just people with, you know, careers and businesses and, you know, or likes of, you know, connoisseurs of such, rappers, artists, you know, all that things, to try and build the community even bigger, you know what I mean? And it's just, it's hard when you have people that don't, you know, they don't promote it as much. You know, you try and help out and you see other people that's, they're not that way. We have everybody, but they don't, you know.
Yeah.
It's not as much as a community as I'd like it to be is what I'm getting at. I guess I would say.
Yeah, there is a lot of infighting.
Yeah, like, which is weird.
You know, like the war between like Crackpots and Funny Stop. And
it was crazy.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah.
You got an opinion about the Crackpots Funny Stop war?
Well, you did say something. It was a good analogy about it.
I asked one of them.
Yeah.
It was just funny. I'm not going to put names in it, but I just said, are you Magneto? Are you Xavier? And they said, they thought about it for a minute and said, I'm Xavier. And I'm like, no, you're definitely Magneto.
Yeah.
I said that to myself, but it was it was just funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? To all the comics out here, you know, get in where you fit in.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in those politics. You just trying to
go out there. That's what we always try to do.
Get exposure. You know, positive exposure, and anything you can do with positive exposure, nobody can say anything about that.
And comedians that we see out there that we enjoy, that we like, that have good vibes and good positive things, we're gonna bring them on the show and present to you all out there in the world.
Hence, Tim Mother Effing Wolf.
Tim Wolf, yeah.
This episode of the Midnight Pocket Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
Jay, where can we find you at, baby?
You can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms, people.
And I am the_great_CoreE. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both on the Midnight Pocket Podcast. I would like to thank our guest Tim Wolf.
Yeah,
thank you.
Where can we find you at, man?
Oh, my socials.
Yeah,
timwolfcomedy.com is my website. Tim Wolf Comedy on Instagram and TikTok. And Twitter is sexy slingshot, but I never post on there, so don't disregard that. It's Tim Wolf Comedy on all the important.
There you go.
Sexy slingshot.
With an E, everybody. With an E.
With an E.
Tim Wolf with an E.
I'll put the link to your Instagram, you know, on the description and shit.
Yeah.
Get you out there.
I need to say the E more often.
You gotta make it a point.
Mm-hmm. Or you can say Tim Wolf with the motherfucking E.
With the motherfucking E. All right, everybody. Check you out next week.
Thank you.
Peace out. Peace.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast.